to make up our mind. We've got to come to a place and say, look, either God be God or he's not. And what happened when that fire fell is something powerful occurred in verse 39. If you'll look at it with me in the next verse, in 1 Kings 18 and 39, you got to be quick on the slides because I'm moving fast and furious here this morning. All the people saw it happen. What did they see? They saw fire fall out of heaven. Not only that, but they saw the impossible take place. They saw God lick up the water out of the trench and also consume the fire, the sacrifice. So they said this, they fell on their faces in awe and worshiped God, exclaiming, and I want you to read it with me, lift up your voice, come on, God is the true God. Don't be afraid now. Come on, say it with me. God is the true God. God is the true God. Now you're starting to feel that a little bit. We're going to do it one more time. You got to get the feeling here. They were on Mount Carmel. Baal was taken over. The prophets of Baal were confusing the people. God's people were running and hiding. The prophets of God were intimidated. Suddenly fire falls. People had been on the fence up to that point, not really making a decisive moment for God in their life. Sort of like wishy-washy Christianity. But then when the fire fell, all of a sudden now, they realized that God is who he said he was. And he was bidding them into the courts of the Lord, just as the Holy Spirit began to minister to us in this last song. So he began to declare with one voice, come on, God is a true God. Ready? God is the true God. God is the true God. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know something. There had been 3.5 years of drought on the earth up until that point. You and I have 60 more days left in this 90 days to make decisions and choices that are going to end spiritual drought. Spiritual drought has been over America. Spiritual drought is over the nations of the earth. But I don't want you to get nervous about what you're seeing in the Middle East. I don't want you to get nervous about all the political wrangling in our country. I don't want you to get nervous about the carnal appetites of the people in this world or the modern theology that seems to be taking over church. God understands that he has a people that are ready, like Elijah, to call on the God of heaven and not be satisfied until fire falls from heaven. And when it does, there is going to be a resounding exclamation that's going to come from the earth. And it's going to declare that God is the true God. And spiritual drought is going to end. Why is that important? Because some of you have come to church today and you're dry. You haven't really prayed and got a hold of the horns of the altar of God in some time. Some of you are dry spiritually. You haven't got a word from the Lord. You haven't felt the presence of God in your life for some time now. Some of you are struggling over certain things and aspects of your life. And you're wondering, where is God? Why isn't God showing up in my situation? And it's because there's been a spiritual drought over the land. But I'm here to announce to you, just like the prophet Elijah was able to call upon the God of fire and he answered from heaven, at that moment when we began to see the outpouring of the Spirit of God, the people with one voice will lift up their hearts and begin to cry, God is the one true and living God. You're going to have to make a decision in the next 60 days that you will not be satisfied living in drought conditions. You'll not be satisfied living without the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. See, you and I have got to get into the courts of God. What we were experiencing a few minutes ago was a beckoning of the Holy Spirit to leave your drought-stricken past and come into the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So I don't know, but you could take us there again. But if you will, do it right now. Come on, just lift up your voices and play your instruments and begin to respond to the glory of God. Because we are intermittently going to worship while I preach this morning. Is that all right? How many want to get an end to spiritual drought? Come on, you want to put an end to a spiritual drought? There's a little tune that said, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come and fill this atmosphere. We were doing it in the West at the end. If you can do that one, that'd be cool. But I just want you to know, come on. Spirit, there it is, right there. You are welcome. That's the choice. Come on.
God is going to feel the atmosphere. Your glory, that is what our hearts long for.
You got the words back there? Try to find the words for me. Come on. I know I'm blowing all this on you, but come on, everybody. Verse 43 of 1 Kings 18, you've got to listen to these words. You keep it coming. And he said to the servant, go up now and look toward the sea. And so he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Ooh, I feel something when I said that. I don't know. It's something like somebody plugged something in. Come on, just say, go again.
Go again.
He said, go to the sea and tell me what you see. Because see, Elijah already heard the sound of rain. Elijah already knew the drought was over. Elijah already knew that God was going to pour out His Spirit upon all the earth. But the servant didn't yet know. And so he tells the servant, go back to my verse. Go back. He went up and he looked and he said, there's nothing. And he told him seven times to go back. You see, sometimes If you're going to get to an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to recollect. You're going to have to remember. You're going to have to remember what God has done. I remember when I was a kid, Rolling Stones were some of my favorite musicians. You could tell they're about my age, you know. And I remember one of the tunes they played. Hey, hey, you, get off of my cloud. Hey, hey, you, get off of my cloud. What's the next part of that? Don't hang around, because two's a crowd. So I'm telling you right now, you and I are the servant of Elijah. Elijah's like Jesus, who sits at the right hand of the Father, who is tucked into humility with his head between his legs. And he says, I see a cloud rising. I hear an outpouring coming. And he speaks to the servant and he said, go see what you see. Go down to the sea and tell me what you see. And so the servant said, you know, I don't see anything. I don't feel anything, but I'm going to go anyway. And on his way to the sea, he remembers something. Way back in Genesis, after God had destroyed the earth with the flood, Noah comes out of the ark. He looks around, lets a dove go. Finally, he understands the dove doesn't come back. It's safe to get out. He and his family now populating the earth. The animals are dispersed. But the cloud shows up. And Noah looks up into the cloud. And God begins to speak to him out of the cloud. And he said, I promise to never do this again. You see, the servant had to learn that there's a promise in the cloud. That God says all the promises of God are yea and amen to those who will believe. Church, if we're going to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we're going to have to remember the cloud of the promise that God said, I will do what I said I will do. And I am not a man that will lie. You can rely upon my word. And I can only think of what it was like to be Noah the first time after they had dispersed, planted a field, built a house, watched animals reproduce, and suddenly the dark storm clouds began to roll in. Now, if you spent 40 days and 40 nights on an ark and you realize that the entire earth was flooded out, you came out with fear and trepidation and humility before God, and the first time you see a dark cloud, I can only imagine Noah said, let's get back to the ark. God is going to do it again. Let's get back to the ark. But suddenly he remembered the cloud of the promise that said, I'll never do it again. And what God is trying to get into our spirits as servants of him is that no matter how dark your cloud gets, no matter how difficult life becomes, no matter how stiff your circumstances will present themselves before you, God said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always. He is a God of the promise. Come on, lift your hands up. Come on, tell him, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come on, sing it one more time. Come on. Holy Spirit.
And feel the atmosphere. Glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come forth. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence.
that tune in your hand, hey, hey, get off of my cloud. Because the devil likes to step into the middle of the promises of God and try to intimidate you and say it'll never come to pass.
Yes.
Servant comes back and said, Elijah, man, I'm feeling the courage, you know. I remembered God as a God that keeps His promises, but I still haven't seen no cloud. And He said, go again. Go again. All right, Elijah, I don't know why I'm going again, but I'll go again. So he goes the second time. And on his way, he remembers a scripture in the book of Exodus. If you could put it up for me. Exodus 13. This time it's not a cloud of promise, but it's a cloud of direction. And he remembers when his people were coming out of Egypt and didn't know which way to go. Didn't know whether they should turn right or whether they should turn left. And the Bible said the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and go by night. By now the servant's saying, wait a minute, I'm starting to think about something here. God is a God of promise because He sent a rainbow. He will do what He said He will do. But wait a minute. Even in my confusion, even in my moments of misdirection, even in my times when I don't know where to go and where to turn, He'll be my direction. He'll be the cloud of direction. He will lead me in the way that I should go. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to go back to get to understand that God is a God of promise. You're going to have to go back and understand that God is a God of direction. Even if you're in the middle of a temptation and you don't know how to get out of it, God said, I will show you the way. There is a way out of every temptation that is common to man. Let Him be the cloud of direction. You know what's really powerful? He said, go again. He said, man, I can't keep going to church like this. I can't keep coming back to church. I know He's a God of promise. Hallelujah. I know He's a God of direction. Hallelujah. Elijah said, you need to go again, because what I'm about to do is going to require for you to get the fullness of who I am in your life, because I am about to do something eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. He's a God of promise and He's a God of direction. But ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to the God that is the God of protection. Because the Bible says in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 19, that after they had fled Egypt, Pharaoh said, what in the world are we doing? Let's go get them. So down they came. The most fierce, feared, awesome power militarily on the earth, coming down after Israel. The cloud was over them, directing them. Now they're at the foot of the Red Sea. Here comes Pharaoh with all of his chariots coming down on them. They've got the promise of God that He's going to raise up a deliverer. Man, they were feeling that. They got the direction of God. Now they knew which way to go. The problem is, it seemed as though they were being trapped by the Red Sea, and behind them came the army of Pharaoh. But suddenly, the cloud turned from horizontal to vertical. Because in the scripture, you'll see that the pillar of cloud stood behind them. Now wait a minute, that's not the miracle. The miracle is that on Pharaoh's side, it was black as night. But on Israel's side, it was light and filled with the glory. And Pharaoh said, I know they're here. I can see their footsteps. I can see their footprints. I see the dung of their animals. I know they came this way. I can even hear them, but I can't see them, because the cloud of protection stands between them and Egypt. And the servant said, I'm starting to get this now. I'm starting to understand that I haven't known you, and I'm not ready for the outpouring of your glory. I was just going to church and I didn't believe everything you said. I'm always trying to find my own way, but I know now you're my direction. God, I know now that you'll never leave me and forsake me. Your promises are yea and amen. God, I know now that you will be my protection. I don't know if you could ever testify and say, had it not been for God, I should have been in that accident. Had it not been for God, I should have been in that coffin. Had it not been for God, I should have been in that jail cell. Had it not been for God, I should be laid on my back and unable to move. But thanks be to God who has protected my life. Come on. Somebody shout, go again. Shout, go again. Come on, lift up your hands. Holy Spirit.
Spirit, you are welcome.
Come on, you're on a journey this morning.
Come from this place and fill the atmosphere.
Come on, you're on a journey.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for.
Go again.
To
go
be
again. Walking with slumped shoulders, dragging his feet. He's got his shoulders square. He got a smile on his face. He's coming back to Elijah. Said, Elijah, I don't see no cloud yet, but I got to tell you, I've got that promised cloud in my spirit. Oh, Elijah, I don't see any cloud yet, but I've got that direction cloud up in my spirit. God, I got to tell you, I don't have that cloud that you're talking about yet, but I remember that cloud of protection. I'm so happy, I think I'm going to shout. Oh, I might as well go ahead and do it. Come on, shout to the Lord, a voice of praise and a voice of triumph. Hallelujah! Woo! What the prophet said, that's not enough. I need you to go again. You need to go again. One time's not enough. Two times is not enough. Three times is not enough. Come on, servant of God, go again. Come on, church, you got to go again. Some of you have been in a spiritual drought so long, you don't even know what the anointing is anymore. You don't even know what the joy of the Lord is anymore. You don't know what the power of God will do in you anymore. You've been in such a spiritual drought. Just go again. Somebody and say, go again. So the servant said, all right, all right. If I saw the promise, if I saw the direction, if I saw the protection, my God, there might be something else up there. You never know, Cassandra. It might be something else. So let me go. Excuse me, I got to run. And there he went. Sure enough, he remembered. It wasn't promise, it wasn't direction, it wasn't protection. This time God did something supernatural. God showed himself with the cloud of provision. Because in Exodus 16, the people of Israel had got to a point of complaining and they hadn't got what they needed. So God spoke to them and he said, I want to talk to you out of the cloud. In the next verse, the Bible said, here's what God did. Out of the cloud, he created hamburgers. Out of the cloud, God created bread. I don't know about you, but you got to remember, on your way to an outpouring of the Holy Ghost that's going to change a region, that's going to change a family, that's going to change a church, You've got to, in your journey, remember, He's a God of the promise, say promise. He's a God of direction, say direction. He's a God of protection, come on, say protection. And say He's a God of hamburgers and bread. Come on, church, you got to understand something. I don't know how God does it, Lord, but God can raise an animal in a cloud. God can feed a sheep in a cloud. Not only can He do that, He can slaughter it, slice it, dice it, barbecue it, and hand it over to me. Don't you worry. God will meet all your needs according to His riches. His riches. His riches. Where's His riches? Glory. It's in the cloud. The servant man, he's hopping and jumping. He's running and bucking. He can't help himself now. He knows that God can bring animals out of a cloud, bread out of a cloud. He said, my, I don't see a cloud yet coming up off the sea, but I got something in my spirit. God said, that's all right, go back one more time. I'm glad that you got all your needs met according to my riches and glory. I'm glad you got all your physicalities taken care of. I'm glad you got all of your provision, your promises, your direction, and your protection all taken care of. But there's something else I want you to get. Go back again. One time, two, three times, four times, this time, the fifth time. And the Bible said that when he got there, he remembered another glory cloud. It was called the cloud of glory. And what was he saying? He was saying that in this glory, when Moses went to the mountain, just put the scripture up there, you follow me. When Moses went to the mountain at Sinai, the top of the mountain, like snow-capped peaks of the Alps, was covered with the glory. Woo! And Moses walked up the mountain. And God said, come on in here, Moses. Come in the midst of my glory. Moses said, all right, I'll be right back. And he walked inside the glory of God. And there God began to speak with him and declare and disclose to him. Now watch this. He had experienced the cloud of promise, the cloud of direction, the cloud of protection, the cloud of provision. But this time, it's the cloud of glorification. Because suddenly now, when Moses came outside the cloud, his face shone so brightly like the sun that they had to put a veil over it, because he became a reflector of all that God is. Church, if we want an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, if you want to see the cloud of rain of Zechariah, then you and I are going to have to go again. We're going to have to go into the cloud of God's glory. We've got to stop reflecting our political party. Oh, don't shout me down. It's all right. You got to stop reflecting humanism, political correctness, traditions of men, religion, modern Christianity that has redefined what the Bible says a Holy Ghost blood-bought Christian is. You've got to start getting in the glory and start reflecting who God is in your life, to your wife and your children and your family and your business and your community. Whew. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come on, is he welcome? Put the words on him. Come on.
Yeah. Glory, God is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. And feel the atmosphere, your glory.
your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come fill this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Yes, Lord. Fill our hearts, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Come on, servants. So the servant comes back and he said, Elijah, oh, God is good. God is my promise. God is my direction. God is my protection. God is my provision. God is my glorification. I'm so happy. And Elijah said, go again. You got to go again. Gotta go again.
Gotta go again.
Come on now. You know that? Come on.
You gotta go again.
He got all this down, but Elijah said, you gotta go.
You gotta go again.
You're singing like a choir now. One last time, you gotta go again.
You gotta go again.
So Elijah sends him off, and sure enough, he goes back. And on his way, he's so full of the Spirit of God. He said, I'm not sitting on a fence anymore. I believe God's God. And he remembers another cloud. Oh, not the cloud of promise or the cloud of direction or the cloud of provision or the God cloud of protection or the cloud of glorification. But this time he remembers that when they erected the tabernacle and they set the Ark of the Covenant in the place called the Holy of Holies and sat it down, that the presence of God came into the Holy of Holies and they bowed at His glory. And it was when Solomon built the temple, arrayed with beauty, laced with gold and silver, sacrifice before God, he remembered. The Bible said the presence of God came so thick in the temple. I just put it up there for me. You're going to have to help me preach because I don't have time to talk about it. The priests could not stand to minister because of the presence of the Lord. Yeah, you couldn't be cute in that service. You couldn't be dignified in that church house. No, no, no. No, no, no. The Bible said the priests got down on their face. And they said, my God, we can't even stand to minister because of the presence of God. And so the servant said, I think I've got it. Elijah, I've seen the promise. I've seen the direction. I've felt the protection. I'm getting the provision. Elijah, I sensed the glorification. And I just felt His glory and His presence. And Elijah said, I think you're ready now. I think you're ready now for what I want to do that was prophesied by the prophet Joel. Oh, come on now. It didn't get fulfilled when your denomination started in 1904. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We walk around saying, yeah, well, we got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That ain't it either. Because you're still fornicating, lying, and cheating. talking in tongues. Come on, somebody. It's all right. Don't preach me down. It's okay. This thing I'm talking about is when the servant, the church, hears the prayer and the cry of an Elijah, Jesus, who's tucked into humility between his legs, and he tells his church, go again. The only way this spiritual drought is going to end if you go again. You can't organize it. You can't necessarily confess it. You can't just pray about it. You got to go again. You got to walk into my cloud. You got to receive my promise and my direction and my protection and my provision. And you need to be glorified. You need to understand my presence. So the servant said, I'm going to go one more time. The prophet said, go one more time. Tell me what you see. I'm going to tell you what I see. I see your cloud arising, Chris. I see a cloud arising. Church on the North Coast, I see a cloud arising. I see an outpouring arising over this house and over this region that nobody can contain it. Nobody will be able to define it. You won't be able to mark it in things of the past. People will have to write about it for decades to be able to explain it, because there's a cloud that's rising. And so the servant goes back. He's all psyched this time, man. He's pumped. He's ready. He's got his dance on. He's shouting. He's coming up. He said, I feel God in this place. And he sees a cloud the size of a man's hand. Shoot, that ain't no cloud. What's that? Cloud the size of a man's hand? You gonna get excited about that? Oh, you gotta understand, I've been to 6 clouds. God don't need no cloud bigger than that to do all that He promised that He would do, and He would direct, and that He would protect, and He would provide, because God's in the cloud. Because Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, don't step on him. Acts chapter 1 and verse 9 says this: this same Jesus who went up in this cloud shall also come again. In other words, you've got to understand that He is about to be poured out. The cloud isn't direction. The cloud isn't a promise. The cloud isn't provision. The cloud isn't His glory. The cloud isn't His presence. Come on, church. The cloud is His person. I want God in my family. I want God in my life. I want God in my church. I want God in my business. Stand up on your feet. Lift up your hands. Shout to the Holy Spirit. Come on, sing.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come to this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Because I want to read 2 scriptures with you, and I'm going to let you go. I didn't forget about the baby dedication. Hang tight. I didn't forget about the offering. Hold on. But God had some business to take care of first. Zechariah 10 and 1. Ask the Lord for the rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds Yes, he will. He will give them showers of rain and grass in the field for everyone. Now watch what the prophet Isaiah says, chapter 43. I want you to get this in your spirit. He's going to pour out water on him who is thirsty.
Yeah.
Floods on the dry ground.
Yes.
I will pour my spirit on your descendants.
Yeah.
There's not a mother in here. There's not a father in here that wants their son or daughter to grow up and become a pervert. There's not a son or a mother or father in here that wants their son or daughter to be incarcerated the rest of their life, to be hung up on drugs. Come on. There's not a father or mother in here that wants their children to be addicted to whatever at any time, to be in poverty, to walk in depression, and to take their life prematurely. There's not a father or a mother in this room. I will pour my spirit out on your descendants. My blessing on your offspring I will pour. You got to go to the cloud, church. You want the outpouring on your kid. You want the outpouring on your son and your daughter. Come on, servant, go tell me what you see. It's time to stop being cute in church, acting like we've got something that we really don't possess, and still pray that God will pour out His Spirit on us. Do you know Him as the God of promise? Are you persuaded? Do you know Him as the God of direction that'll make a way where there's no way? Do you know Him as the God of supernatural provision? Do you know Him as the God that will glorify your life from glory to glory, and He'll lift you into another realm? Do you know Him, the God that God will fill this room with His glory and His presence? Then Zechariah 10 and 1 is for you. Then Isaiah 44 and 3 is for you. But can I just be real with you this morning? I'm just going to have to be real. We go through these cute little motions in church where we dedicate babies. And this is no reflection on any family here today or whatever. I'm just telling you the way it is. And we're still living in spiritual drought. How do you know that, preacher? Because there's no harvest. There's no reproduction. Signs of drought, man, are an economy that's waning. It's not Barack's problem. And it wasn't Bush's either. It's the servants of God. Quit pointing fingers at them. They're just manifestations of our weakness. I know some of you don't like that, but that's all right. I didn't ask for this job. But listen to me. When I think about the outpouring of the Spirit upon our descendants, there's not a family in here that doesn't want that for their kids. But yet, on any given Saturday, there are more people lining soccer fields watching kids kick a ball than they are in the house of God midweek. Don't shout me down. Just smile back. I got to start getting hungry for that outpouring of the Spirit. And it's not going to happen just being cute. It's going to happen when passion comes back to the house of God. Now let me just say this, and I'm going to stop. I promise I'll quit. Because I went to meddling. I quit preaching about 5 minutes ago. Amen. All right. Okay. Do you know how blessed you are? If you don't, let me just tell you. This worship team is the most anointed worship team I've ever worked with in 33 years. I'm telling you that. But let me just warn you. For God to send these gifts to us, and this leader to us? Are you sure you still want to attend here? Go again. You see, God's giving us an opportunity to go again. This is not cute worship. It's not good singing. It's not great musicianship. It's the anointing of God that's bidding us to see the cloud rising. Amen? So when I dedicate this baby this morning, I don't even know the child's name. But I'm telling you, Mom and Dad, if you're bringing that baby up here with this preacher, I'm going to tell you one thing. Go again. If you want the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on that baby, it's not going to be my little dedication prayer that's going to bring it. It's going to be you not satisfied with cloud number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or even 6. It's going to be your hunger and thirst for cloud number 7. That's why you got to get like the Rolling Stones. Look at the devil and say, "Hey, hey, you, get off my cloud. That's my cloud of direction, promise, provision. That's my cloud. Get off." Just let the glory fall. Amen? All right, so, Aaron, I was reading in tongues. Aaron Haley. Come on up here, baby. Come on up here with Mom and Dad, family. Hallelujah. Come on up here. Nice to have you here today. You could just stand up there on that platform so they could see you. Come on in here. You could stand up there on the steps. Would that be all right? And this is little Aaron right here?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, did you know that Aaron means bringer of peace? Did you know that? Aaron, you bring peace. Shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. And watch this. Haley, heroine. Blessed. So the bringer of peace brings blessing of God. And we just proclaim that over you today. We dedicate you today in the presence of Almighty God in this wonderful congregation. Church, would you reach a hand out toward Erin Haley as we pray for her? Tina, anoint her. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father God, right now we dedicate little Erin Haley. We thank you, Father, that there is no other God that she'll ever serve. We commit her now, Father, to the outpouring of Isaiah 44:3. We commit her now, God, to the outpouring, O Father, of Zechariah 10:1, Acts 2:38, Joel chapter 2. Thank you, Father God, for the outpouring upon our sons and our daughters. We believe, God, that she will be, O Father, protected. She will be lifted up. She will be healthy. She will be intelligent beyond her years and full of the gifts of the Spirit. We dedicate her now, God, to the kingdom and that the enemy will have no part in her, around her, or even through her. We protect her now and we thank you, God, that she walks according to the commandments of God all the days of her life. Bless, O God, this household. We lay hands upon this house. We say this house, Father, is blessed when they rise up and when they lie down, and that they have committed themselves today to go again until they see the cloud rising in their lives. And we dedicate her now, Erin Haley, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you, baby doll.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. One more time.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come fill this place and fill the atmosphere. Our holy God is one. Saturday.
Lord. And the church said amen. I'll get a little bit of amen here in a minute, all right? Wait a minute. You're getting ahead of me. We're so thankful, Gary and Patty. Thank you. Christy, thank you. Northern Ohio Printing, blessing the house of God with tickets for Heaven's Gates House Flames. It's just a few weeks away. Pick up tickets on your way out today. Give them to your friends, family members, and especially the people that are not nice to you. They need to be converted. 3 nights, October 15th, 13th, 14th, and 15th. It's free, but they can have a ticket to gain entrance. We also have some posters, I think. And then also, okay, let me have that book, Jeremiah. Would you bring that up here, somebody? Yeah, thanks. All right, thank you, Mark. If you're visiting with us today, anybody here for the first time? Can I see your hand? Okay. Now, if I tell you I'm going to give you a free copy of Joel's book, if this is your first time, how many would like a copy of Joel's book? All right, same amount of people. If you'll meet me on the right-hand side in that little office there, we'll hand you this book, little DVD about our church. We only have about 80 books left. Guess how many we passed out? 600. Isn't that amazing? All right. Here's the posters. And you could put those up in grocery stores, maybe on your front door when the mailman comes to deliver the mail. He needs to hear about Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. Whatever, there's directions on the back, and there's even a little picture of us on the back in case you need to scare away some demons in the middle of the night. Just put that picture up there, and that'll take care of it. I want to close out the meeting here by asking you for your faithfulness in giving. Church, there's no possible way we can continue without your giving. Your covenant to support this ministry is what's going to make it fulfill the call of God in this area. We can't do it without it. I just looked in the mailbox and got no check from the U.S. government. They're sending checks to everybody but us. So the only way we're going to support this house is when you and I will give God his tithe. Amen? And then the offering on top of that. So please do so this morning. And if you're not a tither, begin to tithe today. If you're still checking us out, my goodness, sister, brother, how long you got to check us out? If this is your church, you ought to be sowing into it, helping us to reach this generation for Christ. I don't know if we have any more albums for... We do. We have some albums. If you've not met Leon Timbo yet, new creative arts and music pastor here at Church on the North Coast, great things are on the horizon. He is a nationally known recording artist. Latest album out now, leontimbo.com, and you can download it for free. So you want to do that. But you can also pick up his albums today and help pay the gas bill at home for his babies and all those kind of things as well. So are you ready to give this morning, church? Have you been blessed by the word? All right. You know what it would be like if you went to the restaurant, ordered a sirloin steak, baked potato, and had greens on the side, apple pie, couple of drinks, milkshakes that is, and got up and walked out. They'd call the police on you. So how many feel like you had a steak dinner this morning from the Word? Amen? All right. Well, don't walk out. We won't call the police, but we'll wonder why you didn't at least leave a tip, a quarter or something. Amen. I'm just having fun. Is that all right, Bob?
Yeah, that's all right.
All right. You know how it is. When you get to be my age, you get funny. Just get funny. Church on the North Coast, CNC, hold it up before the Lord. Father, thank you for this offering. We bless you now. We magnify your name. We glorify you. As we worship you, we give to you knowing that your needs are minimal. non-existent, but our need is to acknowledge you. Thus we do. And we know our blessing will be bountiful. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. I don't know, Tori, are you ready to sing special at the end of this thing? You want to do that? You want to close this out? What do you think?